Good morning. What the world needs most is God. However, God is a spirit, John 4:23, and cannot be seen with the physical eye. His love and compassion can only be seen through the lives of godly people as they let the light of God shine through lives governed by godly morals, Matthew 5:14-16. This occurs as one follows the example set forth by Christ, 1 Peter 2:21. It follows that the godly person will then desire to be affiliated with the church which God describes in His inspired Word. The church which Christ built, Matthew 16:18. The church which Christ shed His blood to purchase, Acts 20:28. The church which had its beginning in prophecy, Isaiah 2:2-3. And fulfillment on the first Pentecost following the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Acts chapter 2. The church which we read of throughout the New Testament is truly God's one true church. According to the United States Census, there are now over 2,000 religious organizations claiming to be followers of Jesus Christ. Every single one of them differ in the things they teach, yet they all claim to be right. Not one of them claim to be wrong, even as they teach contrary to the teachings of Jesus and His apostles. Common sense tells us that when two or more persons teach doctrines which directly oppose and contradict one another, there is no way in which they can all be right. They may be all wrong, but they cannot all be right. Most of these religious bodies deny plain Bible teachings on many subjects. Is it any wonder that many are confused as to what is God's will, as to which church we should belong? If every person would only allow the Bible to be their only guide in religion and discard all their creed books, catechisms, and church manuals introduced by uninspired men, the confusion would end immediately. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints, 1 Corinthians 14:33. Since Jesus said, "In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men," Matthew 15:9, and in Bible times the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, Acts 2:47, and whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son, 1 John 9. It is absolutely essential that we consider the church of His choice above those who contradict His teaching. Question: is not the church for which Jesus died, Acts 20:28, and the church to which He adds those who are being saved, Acts 2:47, the church our world needs today? Let us then see what the Bible teaches about the church. The word church comes from the original Greek word ekklesia, which means a popular assembly, the congregation, the called out. The Greek ekklesia is used in the Bible to describe other groups of people who have been called out for other purposes as well. In Acts chapter 19, it is used to describe a mob who had come out against Paul and his companions. Ekklesia was first used by Jesus in Matthew 16:18 in reference to God's called out people. Thus the church which Christ built is comprised of those that are called out of the world by the gospel of Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, to serve God. Referring to God's people, the word church has four basic meanings in the New Testament. There's the local church in a given city or community, as we read of in the churches at Corinth and Thessalonica. Notice also that the letters to the Ephesians, the Philippians, and Colossians are addressed to the saints who comprise the church in those locations. The church in a given nation or region, Revelation chapter 1 tells about the seven churches of Asia. The church may be spoken of as an international sense, 1 Timothy 3:15 and Romans 16:16. The church actually assembled for worship. In Acts 20:7, the church came together to break bread, 1 Corinthians 14. When we speak of the church as it is found in the New Testament, we're not speaking of a denomination. We're speaking of the one church which was purchased with Christ's blood. It is the spiritual body of Christ, Ephesians 1:22-23. He's been given the head over all things to the church, which is His body. It is the body which He will save in eternity, Ephesians 5:23. It is not, nor has it ever been, a denomination. In the New Testament, we find that the term church and the kingdom of God, or heaven, are used interchangeably, Matthew 16:18-19. We can pinpoint the exact day on which the church or the kingdom of God was established by noticing that each time it is mentioned before Acts chapter 2, it is to be in the future. I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. Some who are standing here shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power, Mark chapter 9, verse 1. but from Acts chapter 2 onward, it is spoken as being in existence. Acts 2 and verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." In Colossians 1 and verse 13, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Thus we see that the church was established on the first Pentecost following the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 2. The church also was the subject of prophecy as God, through the Old Testament prophets, prepared the way for Christ to come to save people from sin. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 2, 2 and 3, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The prophet Micah says the very same thing, almost word for word, in Micah 4, verse 1 and 2. If I can learn what the Lord's house, or the house of the living God, is, then I can know, without a doubt, what Isaiah and Micah were referring to in the prophecies. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he is inspired by God to write this. "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." 1 Timothy 3:15. John the Baptist also prophesied of the coming kingdom, Matthew 3, verse 1. And Jesus spoke of the coming kingdom Himself in Matthew 16, 18 and 19, Mark chapter 9, verse 1, and Luke 9, 27, and many others. We have seen that the church is a spiritual body of Christ, Ephesians 1, 22 through 23, chapter 5, 23, and Colossians 1, 18. We must now consider how many bodies Christ has. We know from these scriptures that Christ is the head of the church, the body. This leaves no place for a man, such as the Pope, or a group of men, such as forms a council or a diocese or other organization someplace on earth. The church is not many bodies being joined to one head. Neither is it one body with two or more heads. Listen closely to Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Now, how many gods are there? There's one, of course. How many lords are there? One. How many bodies? One. And what is the body? The church. We have as much right to teach that there are many gods or many lords as we have to preach or teach that there are many bodies or churches that are pleasing to God. Now, the truth is, God and Christ have but one body, the church, in which we may serve and be pleasing unto them. Ephesians 4, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31, and Acts 2, 47. Now, how can we identify God's one true church? Well, it will wear a name found in the Bible. Although there are a number of names by which the church is designated in the New Testament, none of them are proper names such as is worn by a denomination. Rather, they depict ownership and function. I like the way George W. DeHoff explained why we wear the name Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is the Bride of Christ, Ephesians 5, 23. A faithful wife wears the name of her husband. She would not think of stepping out with some other man and wearing his name. The Church must wear the name of Christ, and each member must wear his name. The Church itself should be called the Church of Christ. Jesus said, "I will build my church," Matthew 16, 18. If Christ said the Church is His church, then it is Christ's church, or the Church of Christ, and ought to be called such. In Romans 16, 16, Paul said, "The churches of Christ salute you." Several congregations are called churches of Christ. One congregation would be called a church of Christ. It will have the right Bible creed, which is Christ. Peter in Matthew 16, 16, and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, 37, confess faith in Christ. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby they must be saved, Acts 4, verse 12. It will teach the plan of salvation found in the Bible. One must have faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6 and John 8, 24. Repent of all of his sins, Luke 13, 3. Confess faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And be baptized into Christ's death to wash away all sins, Romans 6, 3 and 4 and Acts 22, 16. At the point of obedient baptism, one is added to God's one true church, Acts 2, 47. It will have God's plan for worship, John 4, 23 and 24. It will have the right date and place of origin, Acts chapter 2. It will have Christ as its founder, builder, and head, Matthew 16:18 and Ephesians 1:22 and 23. It will have only one book for its rule of faith and practice, the Bible, Romans 1:16, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All these identifying marks must be just as they are stated in the Bible. To leave off just one would nullify its claim to be God's one true church. Thus we conclude that what the world really needs is God, and if it needs to see God's love and light in the lives of godly people. One cannot be godly while living immoral, sinful lives. Can you even imagine a godly person not wanting to be affiliated with God's one true church? You can be a member of that church by studying the Bible and identifying the church which the Lord Jesus Christ purchased with His blood as He died on the cross. Obey His gospel and serve only Him in your life. Then His promise can be yours. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Revelation 2, verse 10. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.